Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
That press conference yesterday was remarkable. And you could tell how awesome it was for America in direct relation to how much the media freaked out.
Exactly.
Anything good for America will spin the liberal media into a frothing rage. And that's where they were yesterday. Okay. It started with this, and this was so refreshing. You know, you and I have been yelling for since October 7th, really, the American hostages. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's so crazy? They've been blacked out by the media.
Yeah.
And in the Carter era, you would recognize their face. You could, the volume would be down on the TV, put one of their faces up on the screen. You could, you'd be like, yeah, it's one of the hostages. Mm-hmm. What are their names?
Have no idea.
How many Americans are still being held?
We don't know.
Yeah, I had to look it up again yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just don't see it much in the media.
No, you're not going to.
Because it's been blacked out because the Dems don't give a darn. They don't care. And so it was remarkable yesterday. This is the sea change that's coming. Trump's having the press conference. His special envoy for the Middle East is standing there and next to him. And the media says, hey, you know, what about you're going to have a hostage deal by January 20th? Because Trump had said they would. Trump interrupts him and drops this truth bomb on the Middle East.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Good.
And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given him back a long time. They should have never taken him. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that. Many people are killed. They're no longer hostages. I have people from Israel and others calling, begging me to get, you know, we had also people there from the United States, just so you know. They're holding some so-called hostages from the U.S. But I've had mothers come to me and fathers crying, can I get the body of their son back? Can I get the body of their daughter back?
He's not even the president.
Yeah.
Yet. He's going to be sworn in. Why? Because Biden won't.
No, he's not the president yet, but he's the most powerful man in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Period. End of story. No, nobody's even close.
The Biden administration was too busy aiding and assisting Hamas to bother. And I say that with proof because remember, we have now caught USAID moving more than $1 billion through their charities to Hamas. Yeah. Tom Cotton caught them. And what they would do was sit down with these Hamas terrorists and say, hey, are you a Hamas terrorist? Do you have any connections to Hamas? They'd say, no, they get the money. So if you've wondered, and I have many times watching the television screen, Hamas is supposed to be this sort of poor, downtrodden, you know, the Gazans, very poor, downtrodden. Where are they getting the money to go toe-to-toe with Israel?
Yeah.
You see the missiles and they go flying back at Israel. Where are they getting that money? Look in the mirror. You brushing your teeth? You. So when you understand that Hamas and the Democrats are tied at the hip, and I can prove this. I mean, you've got Democrats, grassroots activists marching in the streets with Hamas flags.
Yeah, in support.
In support, along with Hamas supporters.
Right.
You've got John Kirby, the co-spokesperson for the Biden administration, saying, oh, yeah, those, you know, those protests are partially funded by Iran. Well, who's providing the rest of funding? Remember when Politico reported, oh, it's Biden's donors. So again, the Democrat grassroots is marching in the streets in support of Hamas funded on our soil by Iran and Biden's donors, according to Politico. Take it up with them. So While they hold American hostages. This is why nobody cares about the hostages. This is why the parents are calling Trump and going, oh my gosh, please help us, please. Because Joe Biden doesn't represent America in this. He represents Hamas. So for Trump to say that yesterday is a big deal. Now, think about the weight this carries, too, because this is about to get real. You're going to see a presidency unlike anything you've ever seen before, because when Trump says this now, OK, if you are a leader of Hamas, which really, come on, let's not kid ourselves. It's Iran.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you know? These are not idle threats.
No, they're not.
Because at any moment, a missile, highly targeted, could rain down on your head and you could find, you too could find yourself in the airport blown to bits. evaporated with your suitcase going round and round on the turnstile and everybody else, you know, within 12, 15 feet of you, just fine. We have that highly targeted capability. We can kill you anywhere you are. Trump can do that. So when Trump says, I'm going to unleash hell on the Middle East, that carries weight. Remember, Joe Biden merely asked for the hostages back. He's like, no, you will give them back. He's giving orders. Think how different this is. You will give them back or I will unleash hell. Everybody who is anybody who's still left alive with Hamas is running for the hills. They're going deep inside the earth. But think about this. When Trump says that, he has taken out the number two, Soleimani, in charge, basically the de facto head of the military of Iran. He took him out. He killed him. This could mean anybody. And think how Trump leveled this threat, Lee. He didn't say, I'm going to come after Hamas's leaders. He didn't say, I'm going to hit Gaza. He said, hell on the Middle East. That is a very wide net.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East. And it will not be good for...
Notice how he did that.
Yeah. That means Hamas. That means Hezbollah.
Yep.
That means Iran. That means Syria. That means anybody else that has anything to do with what's going on. What we have seen with the Biden administration is stability through chaos through stability. There's nothing that the U.S. is going to do as far as hard power is concerned, other than, you know, occasionally defending our interest in the Red Sea, that we're doing. So you have chaos throughout the world because of stability, the U.S. doing nothing. Trump is going to bring stability through chaos because you have no idea what this guy may do.
No, you truly.
And that
you don't know.
Is a good thing. Because when your enemies don't know whether or not that you're going to use conventional forces, whether you're going to invade a nearby country, whether you may use tactical use, I'm not saying that he should. I'm simply saying he's not going to rule it out.
No.
And you shouldn't, because you should never telegraph to your enemy exactly what you're going to do, which is exactly what the Biden administration has done since day one. We telegraph everything we're going to do to our enemies. And we hold to that when our enemies don't hold to anything they tell us. And that's the attitude you've got to have. You've got to have the attitude that your enemy is lying to you every time. You've got to verify what your allies are telling you. And you have got to have everybody thinking, I'm not sure what these folks are going to do. I'd better behave.
Now, let me take it up a notch, because everything's different. What you just said is in effect in a way that it was not during the last presidency of Trump up till the killing of Soleimani. Now, what did the Biden administration admit in the fall? Think where we are for a second, okay? Because this is about to get real. Told us there were not one, but two active Iranian assassination plots against Donald Trump. Remember that? That didn't go away.
No.
They have never said since then that that's gone away. So right now there's two active that we know of, Iranian assassination plots. In addition, there are two Iranian assassins in custody, one from 2021, one we just got. He was trying to flee the country the weekend of the Butler assassination. Mm-hmm. Weird, right?
Yeah.
And those two threats are still active, right? Now, remember what we saw. The Democrats make a mockery of this. Convey to Iran, yeah, you know what? If you took them out, we wouldn't mind. Why? Because remember, after the week Biden announces his administration anyway, hey, yeah, there's two active Iranian plots on our soil to kill Donald Trump. Remember, the president of Iran flies in here, stays at a New York hotel for some UN confab, and we give him Secret Service protection. He should have been arrested. And the Democrats were mocking Trump in providing a message to Iran. So understand, when Trump said this yesterday, when he interrupted his Middle Eastern envoy to say, no, 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 step aside, all hell's about to break loose, he understands something, Lee. They are likely still hunting him on our soil.
Yeah.
He's got to stay alive. He is telling them a lot more than the hostages. He's like, don't even try it. I will kill you. That is what he's saying. And he needs to stay alive, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really wish he doubled down on he's going to have a rally. Please live long enough to be sworn in. You know what I wish we could, you know what I would do? If I could do whatever I want, I'd swear him in at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And you know what? He would stay down there and he would explain, I have to stay here until I can straighten out the Secret Service. I can't go to Washington.
But what a statement that would make.
Yes.
What a statement that would make.
Well, that's what he's been effectively doing. You and I have been talking about that.
Yes.
He has to. He hasn't moved. And notice two things have happened, okay? Elon Musk has stayed with him most of the time, physically stayed with him. What has Elon Musk announced? I don't know if you caught this. I meant to cover this over Christmas. That he is building a compound for all of his baby mamas and children to put them all together in a compound.
It's going to be a big one, isn't it?
With its own, like, literally like an army.
11
like
kids? Board. I forgot what
Yeah, I know. I don't know what he's up to. I'm sure he's adding more as we go. He always does. So it's like a baby deer born every spring, you know? So, but whatever. But he's putting them all in the compound. He has mostly stayed at Mar-a-Lago. Trump has not moved from Mar-a-Lago. And I would argue because he can't. Okay, can I add one more thing? So just one more thing. Remember what we learned from this almost got no coverage. Shoot, the whistleblower right after the election, whistleblowers from Department of Homeland Security, Secret Service, go to Senator Chuck Grassley's office and they say, hey, listen, remember those rallies just the days before the election? The Secret Service still unsecured and insecured those. They still did not have the adequate level of protection. They were still dangling Trump out there for the Iranian assassins. So this is, man, this is like a Clancy novel right now.
On steroids.
Yeah. That is why he had to deliver that message yesterday. And that is why it was not specifically targeted at Hamas. It was targeted at the Middle East generally. I will unleash hell. He's telling him, don't you dare. Don't you dare try to kill me on our soil. Don't you dare. Because he's got to survive.